Welcome. It's Monday on November 21, and we are calling to order the City of Tukwila Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting. We have no presentations tonight. I just want to introduce council members Abdi and Sharp, who are committee members. We'll go ahead with 2A, Neighborhood Traffic Calming Program update. It's there, Cindy Knighton. I don't know if she's online. If not, someone wants to fill it.
Yeah, I'll speak on behalf of Cindy. So good evening, everyone. My name is Josh Hartley. I'm the new Deputy Public Works Director for Transportation. Before we get started into the update for the traffic calming program, I just want to give you a little bit of background of me since this is kind of my first in-person meeting with council. So civil engineer by trade. I have over 10 years experience within a public works organization. I've implemented and planned several programs very similar to this neighborhood traffic calming program. Actually, it's one of my passions. I really like this subject. And yeah, just a little bit brief background about me. So kind of just moving right into the updates. We can go item by item here. But first I just wanted to talk about, you've seen the treatments that we've already started getting from the speed pushing, the RFPs, et cetera, right? And they are effective in reducing speeds. However, that's only one component of traffic calming, right? One of the key components that has to run concurrent with that is changing the behavior of the motorists living the life, right? So when we're looking at traffic calming, DPW does place these treatments, but we also have to coordinate with, say, the police department, right, and looking at enforcement and trying to get those changed behaviors to occur, right? So we can get to a certain point of effectiveness, but we need to be able to coordinate with PD as well in order to make that, to maximize that effectiveness. And so one thing we're also doing is we're updating our transportation element at this time, and we're looking at policies such as the traffic calming policy that you've seen and complete streets. So we're looking at all that, and we're coordinating with PD, and we're tying that into that transportation element to help us and inform us on where we should be going for these efforts moving forward. So our goal for next year, for 2023, you have a spreadsheet attached to the memo with the top 10 staff identified lists. I believe you're familiar with this. There was an update, I believe, in March regarding that. So everything highlighted in green, which is A, E, J, those are complete. So the first one is the Allentown neighborhood study. We'll get to that here in a minute, a bit more specifically. That has been complete since October. The TCC pedestrian crossing safety, as probably you're all aware, is also complete with the RFB installation, et cetera. And then last but not least, the 144th Street, 46th Avenue ADA ramps. Also constructed and open and complete. Items B, C, and D, all school safety improvements. We are coordinating with these schools as we speak to understand from their aspect, their operations, and how they would like to see these projects improve safety. We have some thoughts, obviously, initially, as you see on the spreadsheet, where we want to go with that, but we really need to understand from their aspect what they would like to see. So we're coordinating that with that. Once we have their understanding of their operations a little bit better, we'll begin implementing these improvements. Item F, McAdam Road speed and safety improvements. That one is going to be a standalone project on its own. We will start planning efforts in Q1 for next year. And as you can see, we're looking at things such as signage, canalization modifications, et cetera. So we're going to be looking at that street and understanding the behaviors of it now with planning and getting into design later in 2023. South Center Boulevard, 65th Avenue pedestrian safety improvements. There is already a project identified in the CIP for a signal upgrade there. So we will be wrapping these improvements and those into that project. So that would be the timeline for that. The citywide residential speed limit review, we're looking to mimic kind of similar to what you've seen in Seattle with lowering arterial streets and neighborhood residential streets, dropping those speed limits down overall. We have not started that yet to review and see where that will go, but that will also begin in 2023. South Ryan Way pedestrian safety improvements, that too will be a standalone project. There are many possible solutions to that and what we can consider to improve that. And so we have assigned a project manager for that in Q1. We'll begin looking at design and getting a contract underway for that. And with that, that is the update in general. To that. And then if you want, we can stop here, answer any questions to the top 10, or we can move into the second component of the Allentown neighborhood study.
All right, take questions just for this first part. Councilmember Robbie?
Yeah, just real quick. You mentioned the Allentown, there's a grant opportunity there. I just wanted to know what that project is looking like for you guys.
Yeah, so one we've already submitted, and it's seeming likely that we will be awarded that from WatchDOT. It's for the South 119 bridge crossing and having a raised crosswalk and improvements there. We should know hopefully Q1 next year whether we actually get that award or not. So yes, we are looking. That's one specific one, but we will continuously look for additional grants.
I think it moved through one of the screenings. Is that correct?
Yes. So we were notified that that was a top tier project, and so we went through and did a site visit and answered some questions that they had about the proposal. And so, as Josh mentioned, we should know Q1 of next year if we receive that funding.
Did any of their questions, sorry to interrupt you, but did any of their on-site questions make you feel like there were any barriers?
Not necessarily. There's just certain elements that they had questions about, such as, you know, what type of signage would be installing. It was mostly technical questions. So.
And as far as Allentown, I remember, like, as I got into council, we talked a lot about speed bumps.
Mm-hmm.
It was things that were said by the community members and some of us council members that we thought, you know, could hope, you know, with some of the safety issues going on in that area. So is there any ideas that you guys have, like speed bumps, thoughts on that?
So we have collected speed and volume data on multiple occasions in the Allentown neighborhood, and we do have recommendations, as you see in the report, on what type of treatments to consider. Speed bumps, speed cushions are part of that consideration. It will be determined. We're still reviewing this report and deciding that exact step forward. But yes, to answer your question, that is a consideration.
Thank you. And then in J, Project J, it talks about how there's not a grant that's being awarded towards this project. It says that the grant was not awarded. So I'm assuming you guys are looking for some grants there.
So J is already complete. The work has been done. I believe this got wrapped up into another project, if I'm not mistaken.
The overlay.
So. Yeah. So we took that on ourselves, incorporated that.
My apologies. Okay. Yeah, that's all my questions.
Okay. Thank you, Council. I'm sure.
No questions.
Okay.
When is the next opportunity to, this was made by the last Transportation Committee last year. So when is the next opportunity for this to be evaluated by council members if priorities change?
So, Council, it's your, if you want us to go to the COW with this, we can. But what we have here is the same 10 projects that you saw last time are still here. And with the $400,000 we have in the budget for next year, we will not go anywhere beyond this, even next year.
Okay. Maybe it's a thing where I don't think council members read our packets. Maybe it's a thing where you could just get them a copy of this, file purpose taking ones or whatever, and just a FYI to them so that they're aware of where things are.
Sure.
Okay. Moving on. Next item for discussion is transportation analysis for the temporary one-way operations of 42nd Avenue South Bridge. Harry, it says there's some young pictures on page 17.
I'll take that as well.
Okay. I'm loving it.
Okay, so in October of this year, as you all are aware, that the bridge is operating in the southbound direction only at this time and has been since last fall, or maybe last winter, excuse me. We collected volume and speed data 3 days concurrently in October to understand how traffic patterns are operating with this. And what we have found is that there are approximately 3,200 vehicles a day that are using this bridge in the southbound direction. Speeding, not so much a concern. The recommendation from the report, and I apologize, I do have Michael here from KPG, our consultant, who prepared the study and the report. So any questions you may have about that, he's here to answer. But regarding that, the recommendation is to continue southbound operation of the bridge. And the main reason for that is that it operates safer at the intersection of interurban because it is a signalized intersection. So that traffic coming out of the neighborhood, if they want to make a left turn, for example, heading west, they have the protected phase to allow them to do so. If we were to operate and switch and allow northbound traffic, when all that traffic diverts to South 115th and East Marginal Way, That is not a signalized intersection. It's only stop controlled at 115th. So East Martin Road away can continuously operate all of that traffic trying to make a left turn and negotiate between both directions is just not the safer approach. So we are recommending that we keep southbound direction. Now you will see that there are occasional traffic or cars that are going opposite of what's being said, right? Typically that is during non-peak hours. It's usually in the middle of the night that you're seeing the higher amounts of that of those violations. Again, if we were to switch that, it would still result in the same issue, if not more, because now you're going to have frustrated drivers who are queuing up at that 115th intersection, and they're probably going to get frustrated, turn around, and then use the bridge the incorrect way. So that risk for accidents and safety goes up if you switch the bridge operation. So our recommendation is to keep it in the southbound direction until that new bridge is open.
Council Member Sharp.
This temporary bridge will allow both trucks. What's the temporary bridge?
So the temporary bridge, that, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe Michael can answer that one, while the we're going to have to take the current bridge out of service completely in order to build the new bridge across the river, right? And so there's a lot of traffic, and so we're going to build a temporary one to allow that traffic to continuously flow while the new bridge is under construction.
So, yeah, I can give you a little bit more detail. So the designer of the 42nd Bridge is looking at two options of how to build this temporary bridge. The first option is the cheaper option, which is to take the existing bridge, lift it up of the girders, fix the cracks due to the accident that was hit last year, and when it's deemed structurally sound, move it just a few feet onto some temporarily erected columns, and that will be your temporary bridge. That's option one. And if the bridge is structurally not sound, it cannot be repaired, or even if repaired, it's kind of weak, then we'll go with a brand new temporary bridge, which are, they're not meant for permanent driving, but they're there for temporary. So either way, these are the two options that the current designer is looking at.
So how long does it take to affect the repairs on that old bridge to make it a temporary bridge, because that would mean that there would be zero traffic going through there. So how long does that take?
Yeah. So
how about?
They think it's days. I mean, just hours, maybe 48 hours. I mean, I don't quote me on that. You know, when you lift it, you may find a lot more problems.
Sure.
But our goal is like it's 24 to 40 hours temporary, but a few valves and just. It's more visual inspection, make sure there's nothing really terribly bad with it.
And then how long does it take to build that temporary one from scratch?
They're prefabbed, so you order them, they come.
How long does it take to install?
Days. I mean, again, on that one it's slightly easier because if we decide to go that way, you will have the old bridge still there. Mm-hmm. So even if it takes a few extra days, it's not as big of a deal.
So if the temporary bridge takes a few days to install, is it that we don't have the money to implement the temporary bridge now?
Yeah, it's an expensive ordeal. I mean, if it's a brand new temporary bridge, it can be $2 to $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
If it's repurposing the existing bridge, it's about $1.5 million.
Well, what I'm asking is, does the city currently not have the money to build a temporary bridge?
Yeah, we're solely operating from grants, and the grant doesn't allow us to do anything, any temporary bridge until we have the construction contractor on board.
I see. Okay, because I'm wondering if we have a temporary bridge as an option, why not implement that? That way this northbound, southbound thing would be a non-issue. We can transition to the temporary bridge sooner, and then we have all the time in the world to build that nice bridge that we want.
It's just we don't have $5 million grant money.
Would we be able to do that sooner? Like meaning once we have the money and implement that temporary bridge perhaps, and then that way folks have enough time and can anticipate whatever problems you have as far as the new bridge? Is that the plan or?
Yeah, the designer is fully aware of all of these troubles. Our goal is safety first, right? So it's mainly we want to make sure that the existing bridge is serving the purpose it's serving right now. We don't want to touch it and cause extra problems. So once you have contract on board, that's when the temporary bridge can come in.
Okay. And then the last question is, how do they determine 28 vehicles are going the wrong way?
It's data collection. So they sat there in a truck and collected, and they also, Mike will probably explain. Mike?
I'm just curious.
Yeah, we put down a tube. We hired a traffic counting firm to put down a tube that just recorded the number of vehicles over 70 or over several days. And that was the average is 28 per day.
So I think, Mike, the question is, how did they determine they're going the wrong direction?
Is there two tubes there?
Oh, yeah, we have a tube for both directions. That's correct.
Okay. I didn't know if it was a camera or the tube.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I have.
Councilman Randy. Yeah, so currently it's going southbound. So my question is, and I know we've done this for quite some time now, but as far as going north, would that ever come back into play again or not really?
It's not recommended because the same result will probably occur, right? The issue really is about that 115th and East Marginal Way intersection. And if you take traffic to that intersection the way it currently is operating, that's going to create a pretty bad problem. So,
but Councilman, let me see if I understand the question right. Once we have a temporary bridge or once we have the next permanent bridge, you will have traffic going both south and north. So I just want to make sure there's a permanent solution here. This is only during this period.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that, I mean, I understand we also have, like, the intersection issues and all that, but to my prior knowledge before I got into council, like, you know, I grew up in that, you know, relatively that area.
Mm-hmm.
We always had north and south. It wasn't until you guys stopped going north until it got hit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So to my, like, to me, I thought it was more of just, like, because, you know, the bridge is not that safe, you know what I mean? Not more of a traffic situation, you know? So I guess I was just curious because I know we were testing this out. So I guess the study shows that it's just safer that we keep it this way. But I was just curious if you guys ever plan on going back north as well, you know, over that direction in the near future. But I guess not. Really.
Yeah, that's the recommendation is to continue going south.
Even after the repairs of the bridge that they're trying to do when they park it in a new spot?
Then hopefully we'll have both ways. It depends on the structural redundancy at that time. So they have a scoring method, and that's how they told us to go. It's a load that you can only carry so much load.
Has there been like complaints from the outside community saying that please just open up the north? Like, has there been any pressure from coming from that side?
Yeah. So when we first
up on them, you know, they live there. You know, right. The only way you can get into that, you have to take this whole long reroute, you know, just to get into your house, you know.
Yeah.
So their patience, and I assume it's very tough on them, you know. So I just wonder if you guys been getting anything from their community.
So when we first opened this bridge with southbound, we did hear quite a few. I mean, I would say, 10 or 15 emails and phone calls and concerns at that time. And we did answer every one of them. We told them, and that's the reason why we're doing this study. We promised the community that we will do a 6-month study and collect the data, safety, and make sure that this is the right thing to continue. If not, we're, you know, we're happy to reverse the direction. So, and the complaints have stopped since then. So we don't have any new complaints. And this usually happens anytime you, not just the bridge, the inconvenience of just one lane. Any traffic revisions we do as traffic engineers and public works folks, we always get usually increased amount of complaints in the beginning because there is, as Josh pointed out, there's a pattern of behavior change that has to happen from the drivers. And some people just do it, some don't. So you do hear it. But the key is to, usually the key is to continue and not quickly reverse, because when you quickly reverse, it causes more confusion and causes accidents.
That makes sense. So has there already been 6 months? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said that as time went on, you guys have had loads of less complaints, which is good. But have we been able to, has the Allentown community been able to see these studies?
Yeah, we're going to send this to them. So I wanted to have this discussion here first, so that you guys hear first. And we'll send it through an email, because this month there is no meeting, no community meeting due to the holidays. We agreed we'll communicate. Mark Hatt is going to communicate to the Allentown.
That's good. Yeah, because I think the community, that's very important. I think it's a very vital step. You know,
yeah.
There has to be outreach there,
mm-hmm.
You know, updates.
Yep.
You know, like you know, they were giving the word that we would try to stop for 6 months.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, they deserve to see, you know, everything, you know, going on. So I appreciate you answering that. And my last quick question was, how long will it take to do this temporary bridge? And what is the time I'm looking for that? I might have missed that.
Sorry. Yeah, so right now the bridge design is at a little over 30%. We think we will go to construction in 24. So the first thing the contractor will do is a temporary bridge.
Okay, so that would be sometime 2024?
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. Those are more questions. Okay.
We're being asked, I guess, to just nod our way through a discussion that actually does matter to the community, and we're not reaching out to the community and asking, indeed, do they still not care now that they've gotten used to it? So I don't have any facts that say that the community is used to it and likes the way it turned out. In fact, when I have conversations with them, they're very resilient about not being pleased with how it is. The first question is how do we remedy that? Is that going to become an item that comes up in the, is it a January meeting? Or is it
November?
Okay. We didn't want to meet the holidays. So that's
right. We will send this out immediately, and then we're here to take the comments.
Yes.
And depending on the comments, we'll have conversations and meetings. Yeah.
And we know that daily, 28 people, vehicles anyway. What kind of vehicles? Are you just counting wheels, or can we tell if it's trucks doing it, or it's just...
We don't have a breakdown of the type of vehicles on the count. It could be a mixture of trucks or motorcycles or cars.
Like semis even?
You know, it's unlikely. Possibly late, you know, in the middle of the night. That's hard to say.
Okay. I would really appreciate a high-level schedule so people can start understanding that 2024 is when you expect to begin construction. I think a lot of us thought that you might be finished with the design this way, year or early in the year next year, and that we start seeing some construction during 23. And are we not even close in terms of selecting a construction company or any of that stuff?
No, we're not. There you are. But I have asked Adam, who is a project manager, Adam Cox, to
mm-hmm.
share the schedule next time in the community meeting, put it up like a large print showing, because knowing that there are some adjustments happening with schedule, and so I just want to make sure we're sharing.
Right. I just think it's really important to be transparent and set expectations. And actually invite feedback, whether you can do anything about it or not. It's important for people to get a chance to have a say or to know how happy or not happy they might be in a situation.
Yeah.
Because we haven't picked the contractor for construction, we don't know how we're going to solve the bridge side-by-side thing.
Yeah.
So you said it was $3 to $4 million for the new type prefab one that comes in?
Yeah, I don't have the accurate numbers in front of me, but it's somewhere between 3 and 5 for a brand.
And what's the savings for picking up our bridge and moving it over?
$2 to $3 million. The range given for moving it was up like around $1 million or 1.2. Brand new would be between 3 and 5. So the difference is around 3 is what I said.
It's not that we don't have the money. We're just being smart with our money.
Well, I think the granting authorities are not they're sequential. They release the money, as you know, when we're in that phase. So right now we don't have that money for the temporary bridge. They will give it to us when we have the design done, when we have the contractor on board.
And because I was so busy worrying about getting funding and channeling it to WASDOT and other places mm-hmm. and getting it to us, is there any kind of timer on this? Like, can we screw this up and not get our funding because we don't get on quick enough?
No, right now there are no concerns. We are moving along. We actually have some cushion, but we do want to finish it early because of the urgency here. We only have one lane open, mm-hmm. but the grant timeline, I think there's more cushion we could work through because they understand a bridge like this is important. It takes time for design and construction.
Okay. How far are we through the design? Because I thought we had to be a third of the way through the design to even go stick our tin cup out and talk to people.
Yeah, so what they had was a type, size, and location report that was below 30%. That actually went through first quarter of this year to WASDOT and the local programs.
Okay.
And the state bridge engineer has reviewed, approved, we got everything through. So that's from there. Everything is taken up to 30. We may be at 40%. We're somewhere between 30 and 50 right now.
Okay. And so are you going to try in 24 to do building during summer? Would you like the summer months for doing that?
It doesn't have to be all dry season for us. There's a lot here that can be done because the bridge is in the river, so we will deal with water. So summer itself is not a concern. We think even if we can bid end of 23, we still are going to bid it. We're not going to wait for the weather. Weather is not a factor.
Okay. I just really want this information to be in front of the other council members similarly.
Okay.
Yeah, create cards of time out in that community meeting so they can be aware of what's going on. Thank you for the information.
Yeah.
Moving on to item C, it's Public Works Campus. Phase 2, Brandon Miles going to talk about it in discussion only.
Yeah, thank you, Councilor. My apologies for being late. I was on the TCD's committee meeting as well, so I did that meeting and then I ran over here. So tonight we don't have anything in the agenda packet because we wanted to really have a discussion with the councilor and with a reminder of kind of how we got here. And so what I like to do quickly is to show a video that we did in 2016, which showed our Minkler shops. This was part of our when we were trying to educate the public about the public safety plan, and it kind of shows some of the context. We're not going to show the George Long, since that building has been completed. We're going to show the Meekers one, and then I want to also show a video that we did for the new Fleet and Facilities building, and then turn it over to Brian and to Cody, who are our Public Works leads. For their shop sites to talk about kind of their needs and also some of how some of the advantages that they're getting in the existing site. So with that, I'm going to learn how to do a video.
And these videos are on our website as well. So if you wanted to go back and look at that George Long video, you could go back. And actually, it has the lease and fire stations, I think, are also on that video too.
Yeah.
I'm Ryan Stell with the City of Tuckahoe Water Department. I'm here to speak a little bit about some of the deficiencies of the Mingler Maintenance Facility. The facility was built in 1972 and housed approximately 12 to 15 full-time staff. Now houses 35 and a lot more equipment than it did in 1972. So that has resulted in a very overcrowded equipment yard. Our supply storage is inadequate, and that requires us to travel off-site to other storage areas to get our supplies for the day. Some of the other issues that we have here are the lack of the decant facility for disposal of catch basin waste. Some of the mandates that have come down with through the NPDES regulations through the Department of Ecology have made us have to travel off-site to county facilities to dispose of these wastes. That has resulted in time loss and obviously more wear and tear on the equipment as well, in addition to the cost of the dumping on those facilities. One of the other inadequacies here are the facilities themselves. They're undersized in the restroom. They're built for about 15 people. We have 35. To challenge the use of restroom at this facility. There's usually a line in the morning to get in there. And get crews in and out of the shop in the morning, that can pose a problem. Our office space for the employees is kind of a jerry-rig situation where these facilities were built for housing supplies, not people. And so we have office space being used now that were set up for supplies. So they're not really set up, they weren't built to house people. The ventilation's poor, the lighting's poor, they're just not made for what they're being used for. Some of the other deficiencies are the lack of power backup in a case of emergency, such as the earthquake or just simple power outage. We do not have battery generator backup for our facility. So lighting is an issue. And when we are in, our job is to back up or support first responders, and we are a first responder. So it makes our task that much more difficult to provide that.
So now this was the video that we made this year of the new, highlighting the new fleet facilities.
I'm excited to be here to share our integrated public works fleet.
Wait,
can
I
turn
that?
Located at 11210 Walmart. Police staff reporting from this building, approximately 350 city fleet units. These units range in size from Fire Station 54's ladder truck, Police Mobile Command Center, Public Works snowplows, all the way down to remote control lawnmowers. The facility staff are now headquartered here while maintaining 29 buildings throughout the entire city, totaling 355,000 square feet while maintaining 211,000 square feet with full custodial services. This new building features many upgrades from our previous shop, and one of the most important is the increased size of the mechanic base. At the previous storage room facility, it was extremely cumbersome to fit the larger vehicles, such as fire engines and battery trucks, into the building. The ceiling was so low that it was not possible to lift them to the proper height for maintenance or repairs. We now have a safe, efficient, and accessible garage base for the lovely mechanic space so you can put them in the drive through. Having the mechanics be able to freely walk through the vehicles greatly reduces the cost and on time it takes to do repairs. Lighting was another problem in the building. In order for there to be enough light to do the work, staff had to scavenge old street lights and set them up in the shop. Now, this is a larger issue in the new building. We do not have energy-efficient LED lighting system throughout our entire facility that creates a safe work environment. Mechanic crew has noticed the huge difference the lighting has made. Another issue with the old shop was a lacking of storage space for parts, inventory, and equipment. With the new building, we have doubled now in size, Our George Long facility was approximately 19,000 square feet, and now we're at 40,500 square feet of building space. We have had shelving units that hold pallets of materials, allowing us to be more functional, now using a forklift where we simply did not have a space before. Proper ventilation is essential for mechanic services. We have now installed 10 vehicle exhaust ventilation systems, a single vent air revolving exhaust system, to ensure top safety in place. Our fleet tenants will provide walking services. In the event of power outages in the past, there's a portable tag along generator that did not need to use to fully power our operations. Now we use a three-phase, 450 kilowatt common standalone generator that fully meets our needs, so we have uninterrupted operations 24/7, 365 days a year. Daily, we use a lot of fluids, oils, diesel, fuels, and antifreeze. We feel safe and secure that in the event of a spillage leak or a new hazmat container area, will help us protect the local environment. The entire building has also been fully retrofitted to meet or even exceed today's seismic requirements. In the event of an earthquake, this building is a safe place to be. Now that we have moved fleets and facilities into our new building, we're excited to continue planning for phase two of the project. Planning consists of an operation building to house our public works, street, water, sewer, and surface water division. This includes covered areas for our vector trucks, crew work vehicles, and dump trucks. ECAP facility, brine tanks for snow and ice plant operations, and additional storage are also forthcoming. This building has given us a first-class environment where we can ensure the city's fleet facility services work safely and efficiently. We cannot have done this without you. Thank you.
So that's just a overview of the, so you can see the sites before and after. I wanted to turn it over to Cody and Brian to kind of talk about their experience, both at the existing facilities as well as the new facilities. So Brian, do you want to start off?
Sure. So I'm going on, and I'm 6 months from my 29th year here. I've seen a lot of change in Tukwila over the years since I started here. Just, you know, my predecessor told me, he said, you're going to see someday buildings going up here. When the price of the square footage gets to a certain level, they will build up. And now it's coming true. Coming to the end of my career, but it's coming true. So the one thing that hasn't changed too much is the facilities we operate out of, at least at Mankler. Space requirements for that operation are vast. I mean, we're driving, I didn't even realize how big those trucks were. I just, you know, you guys get used to operating them in tight spaces and they get good at it. When we started this test to fit process, the engineering or the architects brought in this really cool model that can simulate turning radiuses. And two of the vehicles we have are 42 feet long. That's double axle, that's the Vactor trucks. The biggest rigs we have that are double stacks are the dump trucks, which are about 30 feet, and the equipment trailer at 30 feet. So you're over 60 feet with the two in tandem. And jockeying around some of these spaces in here, it's pretty impressive. We have good drivers, put it that way. So that's one thing that hasn't changed, and it is a difficulty that the staffing face every day. You know, working late at night sometimes on responses to water main issues, you name it, traffic issues. Coming in and out of that yard, you may not have full staff. You know, you're kind of spread thin, so guys are having to make these maneuvering spots by themselves, or, you know, having spotters during the day is a luxury, you know. Ideally, when we build a new facility, efficiency, safety, all those things would be designed into the space. A lot of it is just that space is, we don't have enough space there to do it. I think we've eked out every inch of that thing. If I could go through and show on each picture what we've done to try to find space. We put shelving in the exterior carport areas to house supplies. We have put our sanders up on racks to get them out of the way. So I think we've pretty much, you know, we've tried to manipulate the space as best we can. So it is important at some point that we look at growing, you know, our shoes don't fit anymore, put it that way. I mean, in 1972, that was an adequate space for the size. And actually, some of the bays that house people now were actually the mechanic bays. You can still see some of the old exhaust reels and things hanging up there. So if you can imagine the size of the operation then compared to today, I mean, look at what Fleet has to have now. They have a separate building that's quite sizable to house the amount of fleet that they have to maintain and work on. So efficiency, safety, again, I think it's more safety than anything, but efficiency, we don't just have this Minkler shop as our only facility. We have storage over at the Long Acre site. Part of it's at the George Long site that's, you know, we're going to be getting rid of. We do have spoils there. So we have a lot of off-site storage as well. And in my time, we've moved those sites like 5-6 times. It's crazy. I think about it now. The community center, that used to be one of our sites. We bought that from the county. That was a big field. And we used to store all sorts of stuff there. And then we built the community center. So we had to move to a different site. And each one of these times we've moved, it's a substantial. You know, I think our last move was around $50,000 just in, you have to prep the road. You know, it's, you're driving big, heavy equipment in there at all hours of, you know, hours of the night. It's wet. You have to have a firm. So each one of these times we've got to like, hope this is the final move, you know. So I was real hopeful when the voters passed that initiative, that the bond to allow us to build. I thought, all right, finally going to put a stake somewhere in the ground, and we're going to be there, you know, for the future, for the rest of my career, and probably many others. So I just want to relay, I mean, nothing's changed from that 2016 video. We're still in the same boat we were in then. We're still tight. We're in spaces that aren't designed for people. And let me tell you, that has a lot, that really plays a lot in the morale arena. Guys come, they spend, you know, I myself spend probably 12 hours a day here. And how many years I've been here, that's a lot of time to be sitting in a, you know, and not to say all my work is in the building, I've been out in the field a lot too, but when you're collaborating, you're trying to function as a group, a team, you have to have a space that works. Because, you know, you got, that's where some of the most important conversations happen, beginning of the day and at the end of the day. And that drives our work the next day. So I just wanted to let you guys, just to remind you of the importance of this project to the Public Works Department, and, you know, just keep that, you know, in the forefront of the conversation.
All right. You know, I don't have 29 years in, I have 21 months here. And so I got a long ways to go to catch up with Brian. But the one thing that I can speak to is just the morale change since we've opened up our new facility. You've been there. We toured it. I mean, it's much larger. It's safer. It actually has a lunchroom where people can sit down and have lunch together. You know how important that is? You know, that's the heart of the home right there. Just being able to sort of happen to manually lift things up and put up on shelves. Now we can actually use forklifts to do that. For tire loading, over at the old George Long facility, there's a big canister. It was full of tires. You had to walk all the way to the back, had no lights in it, it was dirty, had all kinds of spider webs in it. I got curly hair. You know how that is. You know, we get stuck with spider webs. We don't have that now. Now we have a tire carousel. So really just the morale, the safety aspect, the efficiencies, and it just how the staff is feeling that the council and the administration and management is we're really setting forth a success for public works in the future.
So the other thing I want to talk, just as a reminder, we all remember this, you know, Minkler Shops is behind a levy, part of the 205 levy projects, you know, kind of building in other projects. know, the county wants to set back the levies, and so the Minker shop is one thing, property that they've identified that they would like to, you know, perhaps in the future purchase in order to set that levy back. The other thing, this wasn't able to go in the packet because it came too late, but I do would like to show you some of these some site plans. Now these are not the test of fit, and these are showing the existing site and some of the things that we're looking at. I think they provide some good context. Tomorrow, I can make sure the council members each get one, and there should be a few extra. Tomorrow there's another all hands meeting with public works staff, so they're going to go over the draft concepts and some layouts for them to look at and provide input on. Our plan is, again, like we've always said, the council will see everything and see all, you know, see the salami being made, and we'll show you, we're going to have at least 6 site plans to show to you, that including one being retaining the existing building. So we'll lay that all out for the council for you to see. The one thing here I'm going, so what this is just a core, this is just some of the slides that we're going to show tomorrow. It's not all of them. I just wanted to show the council some of the highlights, because I think it really kind of shows kind of what we're looking at. So this is the existing site. One of the things there, you see 2 dashed lines. One there is the shoreline jurisdiction, which is 200 feet from ordinary high water mark, and the other one's the shoreline buffer, which extends further down closer to the river. That's the same kind of buffer and shoreline jurisdiction that would exist for any property owner in the city. And there's regulations, of course, what you can and can't do within that area. This is just showing kind of the existing site. You've all seen it. I won't spend a lot of time with this. This is the one I really want to highlight. This is the existing impervious surface at the site today. So if you go out there, you will see that the tenants on the UPS site is maximizing out all of this impervious surface. So this is what the city will take ownership of November 1st, 2023. We'll lease back to the tenant as we were going through our design. They'll be on the site through April of 2025. But this is the big change here, is no matter what our site plan is, this is the amount of area that we're able to take back. So whatever the site plan is, we're going to return this much area back to green space to help connect along the river, create a better environment for people to work, but also really to reduce that impervious surface limits that are on the site. Right now, we're probably at nearly 95-99%. So some of the things, you know, again, of course, our reasoning, right, we're part of the estuary and part of the salmon recovery. So looking at ways that we can create a natural environment, that is something that our employees, that will be a benefit to our employees as well as to the environment. Just going ahead real fast. So in our property, we're looking at how can we create wetlands. These will be man-made wetlands to create some areas that are good for fish and good for the habitat. You've seen this. This is just kind of showing the layout of the programs in the building, not outside. But this is the big thing that, you know, and maybe Cody and Brian, you can kind of speak to this. We, public works staff went and looked at some facilities down in Pierce County. And one of the interesting things was buildings that we could drive through was something that that provided some benefits that we were examining as part of the site plan.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at state-of-the-art, you know, recently built facilities, I think the efficiency part of that is at play in every one I've seen. I've actually toured quite a few when we did the previous look at this stuff. And that's one thing, if you go back to the slides of what we have today, we have bays, but, you know, they're one in, one out, and some are double stacked with equipment that can't, that it has to be inside. It can't be out in freezing conditions. Those are the Bacter trucks, sweepers, that sort of thing. We have things like pumps and things lining the aisles between the bays. So let's say you need that pump. To get that pump, you have to move a vehicle out of the bay to get the pump out. So this kind of situation, like some of the stop facilities, for example, they made it so you could drive right down the center and all your materials were off to the side. So you could easily load and just keep going. So the efficiency like that makes a big difference in your work. I mean, you add up those hours and it's a lot of money. I mean, if you did a complete analysis, you would have a pretty good savings on staff time, what we spend just shuffling equipment, using sites that are off-site. Like over here, you got to run over here, dump the stuff. You got to come back here, pick up the stuff. If you have it all in one central location, you know, you save time.
You might save response.
Fred Meyer has it right. Right, you go there, you can get it all. You can get your paintbrush, you can get your milk, and if you need a pair of socks, you can get them. That's the thing. That's why you see nowadays a lot of these grocery stores, I think, are going that way. Everything is there. It's consolidated. And that's one thing. On all the newer facilities, I've noticed that, and all of them have covered everything. All the equipment's covered as well. Your equipment lasts longer. Items that are in the back of the truck don't sit out in the weather. And a lot of that stuff ties into the MPBS requirements as well for ground, you know, surface waters. So.
Where was that facility?
Pierce County. Okay. Yeah, that was the, they were out of the stop facility is the street and the traffic engineering and then sewer. So it's not everything there. They have another facility that houses some of their other operations, but three of their components were out of that facility. It's impressive. I mean,
it's called STOP, S for sewer, T for traffic, operation.
Well, we're going to have to come up with an acronym now. So the other thing too is that, me being a lay person, and it's interesting how little things can impact the operations of a facility. And one of the big discussions we had is just how do we lay out the dumpsters and the bins for the crews, to make it easy for them to be able to drop off and to leave. And so that was something that we actually heard from our first all hands meeting. Some of the public works staff gave some suggestions as to how to angle that so it would be better for us to for the site operations. And then finally, just some of the things are looking at how much sand and gravel we have and the calculations for that to be able to maximize our staff time during any type of events. So these are all just we're just wanting to show you as we move forward. And Brian and Cody talked about in the employee wellness, and so how can we design a space that is productive and creates a team environment for the staff. The other thing, and it's not shown in here, but some of the direction that we have provided the architect staff on is sustainability goals. So looking for opportunities where we can put solar in, any type of other infrastructure that would help reduce our total kind of footprint on the project. So those could have a cost, but sometimes those costs are negated by grants as well as operational efficiencies. So that's all we have for you today. No, just a quick little check-in.
All right. We kind of lost, I think. Did we start last time? If not, you're on.
The Minkler one is the one that you was in the deal?
Yeah.
Yes, so that one I got to visit both. I wasn't there when David took me there in the summer. I like the new facility, it's amazing. It's amazing building. But for the Minkler one, just as a quick update, I'm losing track of things. Is there gonna be a new construction or new building for the Minkler one?
So what we're working on is a test to fit for phase two next to the Fleeting facilities that could, if fully funded, would move Minkler, the Minkler shops and Long Acres and some other stuff all onto that public works site. So we would have the Fleeting facilities, which we're currently at, and what's currently the UPS site to the east of it. So it'd be one combined site.
Yeah, just seeing it from my own two eyes, I could see how outdated that place was. So, I'm supportive of that, and I hope, you guys get that long, well-deserved building. So, yeah.
Councilman Sharp?
You shall look great.
I did.
It's good, man. I only had basic stuff about the actual, some of the stuff in there. So there's eyewash stations in there.
Yes.
And those big rigs, like the Vactor, because I've driven one of those trucks, is a pain. Do they have backup cameras in there for you guys?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. And then I noticed that there's forklift lifting equipment up on those big racks.
Mm-hmm.
In the event of an earthquake, are those earthquake proof? They ain't going to collapse on you guys, are they?
So all sets have been upgraded.
Right on.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, yeah. Looks good.
Thank you. Come on out anytime. Come again.
Yeah, man. I will. Can I just cruise by there, or do I have to make an appointment?
You can just cruise by.
Cool. All
right. So you both have seen the Mingler shops?
Yeah, both.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know there was a conversation about it happening. I personally think it's one of the worst places in the world to work, so I completely appreciate what you've been going through. We've done some modifications here and there, but it's... I don't know when it was built, but it wasn't built for anything in terms
72,
of...
72, yeah.
Yeah. There's... In the summer, it's horribly hot. I got the tour in the winter, I think, when I first went. It was freezing cold where they were, so... and I can't believe how tight you've been working in there. You guys are a consummate professional for getting that done. How's the... I think we put in a facility for better bathrooms and showers. Is that working out?
Yeah, that's helped. That has helped.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Kind of like a portable.
But it comes at a cost because we lost some space too.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did look at, what would it take to retrofit inside the building, the existing bathrooms, and the cost of that, just because of the unknown, there's, probably some asbestos and things to do that. It was cheaper to do the other one and more, you could pin the number on it essentially. And the other factors, we could potentially take that building with us as wheels, so we could relocate it and repurpose it at the new facility. So,
because we own it outright.
Yeah.
Okay. The only other questions I had were, once upon a time, and we've talked about several things to do with that site, and I'm kind of like, I was looking at Ari and David at this point. But I remember discussing putting spoils possibly out of the rain in the building that we're in.
Yes.
I'm waiting for you to say there's no room at the inn, but I think we saved the last bays and talked about that seriously. Has that gone out the window completely?
Currently, we have a lot of fleet that when we left outside, they were broken into and we're having more damage. So we're like... just out of priority right now.
He flips out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your point, Councilmember, you're exactly right. The goal on all of this is to get covered spoils and fleet for all the reasons that you've talked about before.
Well, I would imagine you put the spoils out there and leave the trucks where you are and have to drive those big things for whatever it costs the field to get it over there. But just trying to remember what we were talking about earlier on.
Yes, sir.
35 people, there's no way to move them in, crowd them in now while they're waiting for phase two, because there's just so much more parking and stuff out that way.
We looked at it, the only space that we have that reasonably we could build offices would be that same L-shaped part of the ring where originally it was for spoils, now we put fleet.
Yeah.
That's the only space we can put people. Just too many priorities.
They already kind of moved people in, so I get that.
Mm.
All right, anything else?
One last thing, and I'll make sure Laura gets this and gets on your calendars. It will be a public open house January 11th at the community center for the kind of this project and the various options. The council will see the options first, and then we're taking to the public on January 11th.
Anybody have a miscellaneous? I hate to keep you all waiting, but I have one. It's kind of a goofy one. There's a committee named TIS at the National League of Cities. I've been on it for 10 years. I've vice-chaired it in the past, and there's politics involved in being a leader at NLC. I was selected by the incoming president to be the chair of the TIS committee at the national level. The person who's president is the mayor of Tacoma, which means there will be a forum in the summer. I don't know when. Usually it's around June-ish. And when the forum happens, they're going to put pressure on me to come up with either tours of transportation example. So you can imagine why I was hoping that bridge was already under construction. So it's the 23, December 23. I am very interested in feedback on what you think national people should be talking about at our congressional delegates for March. Any kind of, that's always been an open invitation, but now it's actually going to be heard. There'll be a couple times where they do fly-ins where they pay me to go there and talk to different transportation and allocation people. Mm-hmm. So there's a visit to Murray just because of what she just got named to. Mm-hmm. So a whole lot of things coming together. And we will be, I'm open to ideas of what we should be showing them in this area. It's not just Tukwila, but that they're already dropping hints about mm-hmm. being a fan.
Great.
So I'm just, the turn's pretty high, and you should know we had a round table, must have been 100 people there, mm-hmm. and every railroad you could name, including the Canadian Pacific and Canadian rails were there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hold another one. I just don't know when. I hope it's the spring, but I just want pressure to get a lot of things done. So I'm wide open to lots of ideas of what we could do well to showcase Tukwila.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously secondarily, South King County areas, anybody that's, and after that, SCA. I don't know how crazy. They also may be interested in doing something with Boeing as well. So just food for thought. It's going to be an interesting ride. So
that's great. Is there some ideas that you have? I can already think of many projects that the council has supported over these years. Are there ones that you are thinking about now?
And anything that's also in concert with housing and jobs.
Yeah.
Because those are the main thrusts that Victoria Woodard is focusing on. But as we all know, transportation is sort of the middle of everything. And literally talked to an Uber driver on the way out, and he was just talking about how it gets him, education, jobs, access, better housing, better living styles, and that's all part of transportation. Fascinating. I learned more from Uber drivers than I do from people at these conferences,
mm-hmm.
but because of their lived experience. Anyway, just...
summer of 2023 is kind of the target.
I think for sure it's the leadership forum, and he'll be looking around. Obviously, she'll be showing up to come and doing a bunch of other things, but I know transportation will be asked to. There's many federal advocacy committees. It is the largest and the most popular. We're on a groove right now. It's pretty exciting. I think it's the University Places, the person who's the energy and natural resources chair.
Mm-hmm.
So Victoria did what she did for Washington. Mm-hmm. We've never had a Washington State chair. We've only had one previous West Coast chair. So we're all pumped up about doing our best and getting, frankly, the most of access we can out of this.
Okay.
Congratulations on being chair.
Yeah, it's crazy. When you finally get there, you're just kind of afraid to go, I'm glad to finally do this for Tukwila. All right, that's all I got.
Thank you, guys.